You know, he didn't have to say it, but the inference was you'll either wake up or you won't. So said goodbye to my family and it went black.
This is a podcast for the infinitely curious, where we share stories, invite others to share stories, and sometimes just talk for the hell of it. So, take a few minutes out of your busy day, sit back and join our host, Steve Windus, batting the breeze.
Have you ever had that experience where life had been racing along week after week and everything was okay? Yes, there were problems, but everything felt normal. And then something happened and suddenly life wasn't normal anymore. Meet Kathy McDaniel.
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. My dad was in the military, so we moved often. That was kind of a difficult thing for me. I went to Catholic schools, so that was very well policed by the nuns and the priests, so there was really no problems. I mean, the worst thing would happen, I think, was we threw toilet paper on some trees of the neighbors at Halloween and got in a lot of trouble. My dad was an avowed atheist until his plane got shot down in World War II, and it landed upside down in flames on a beach where they were shooting guns at one another. So he said to God, if you're out there, save me, and I will become a Catholic, and so will my family. And just as he said those words, some Marines came out of the jungle, got him out of the plane, and drug him to a medic. So we all became Catholic. They were very devoted, both my parents. It was impressed upon me that there were certain rules, and they were to be obeyed, and that there was going to be a heaven, a purgatory, or a hell.
Although Kathy didn't realize it at the time, her father's life-threatening experience and subsequent conversion to Catholicism would have a profound influence on her in later life in a way that she could never imagine.
I was engaged to a wonderful man for 7 years, but when he had an opportunity to go from the West Coast to the East Coast to really improve his status at his work, he couldn't turn it down, and I couldn't go with him. So we stayed very close friends. He called me probably a year later and said, we need to talk. I have leukemia. And this was supposed to be a 2 or 3 month operation. It turned into just short of 9 months. Well, he died. I was an emotional, physical, spiritual wreck. And not too long after that, a gentleman I had been dating for a short time took me to a Southern California singing concert, and I caught a horrible flu that was going around. By the time he pulled into the parking lot, I had passed out on the street trying to get into the clinic. He had to pick me up, carry me in. I had no pulse.
The trauma, stress, and sheer exertion of the previous 9 months had taken its toll on Kathy's health. Right now, she was teetering somewhere between life and death.
So they put me in an ambulance, took me to the hospital. They said I had a 38% chance of making it, that I had lung failure. It was called ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. So the last thing I heard from the doctor was, we're going to put you out, and I'm giving you something called white amnesia. You will not be able to remember anything, okay? So don't worry about it. The inference was you'll either wake up or you won't. So said goodbye to my family and it went black.
The nature of white amnesia meant that Kathy wouldn't be able to remember anything during her drug-induced coma. So what happened next should have been that she remembers waking up from her coma, but it wasn't. Kathy describes being conscious. She didn't feel dead, just confused. She became aware of something staring at her, which let out what she described as an ear-splitting, maniacal laugh. It moved ever closer to her, and she ran.
After I ran, it was still very dark, but all of a sudden, the lights came up like I was on a movie set. As I looked around, I was shocked to see that I was in what was remaining of a bombed-out city. After a few seconds, the lights came up, and I was looking at what can only be described as a demon. It was huge. It was like, I don't know if you ever ran into Bigfoot somewhere, and he had tattered
bright,
clothes on.
Warm lights.
And I was fused with this love and joy and bliss that words can't describe. I noticed that the light started having some shape to it, and there was like white walls.
I didn't
understand. They kept giving me these gifts and pointing down the river, and I finally got to the end of the river, and the last lady said, "Give this to Ron." That was man I had been tell him you must live together. Thought, this is all just so weird, whatever, and I took it. There were strange people moving around, and I thought, oh, no, back in hell. And then one of the people said, "Mom's back." And she came running over and sat down, and my mother turned around, and my dad, and they're all so happy. They're crying. And my daughter says, "You've been so sick, Mom. We almost lost you."
Kathy's experience was undoubtedly life-changing. For 10 years, she'd internalized the fact that she believed she'd actually visited hell. For 10 years, no one would listen to her. Certainly, she was told she wouldn't have any memories of the coma. White amnesia should have taken care of that. But she did, and the length and vivid nature of the memory is extraordinary. However, white amnesia is a form of cannabis, among whose side effects are listed hallucinations. So I wanted to know from Kathy why she was so sure this was a near-death experience.
Well, again, I've done a lot of reading and studying and met a lot of people, the neurosurgeons, the attorneys, the people that, you know, are smarter than me, supposedly, had these same experiences, and they have no doubts. Dreams fade by the next morning. I was told that my brain could not remember anything that would happen in that coma. And my brain did not, but my soul did.
Kathy's experience occurred while in a coma, not when her heart stopped, as you might imagine.
That's correct. And having been around the IONS group, the International Association of Near-Death Studies, I've been around hundreds of NDEers, and it's well accepted that a person in a coma, somehow your soul drifts off and you can have a near-death experience without flatlining.
What is your definition of a near-death experience?
A near-death experience for me was waking up or becoming conscious in another realm. I never felt dead, Steve. I just felt me. People ask me, well, did you see your feet? Did you see your body? Well, I didn't think to do that. And they said, well, how much time were you there? Well, there's no time on the other side. You don't have a clock. You don't have a mirror. It's just you. You're not in Kansas anymore, as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz said. It's a very, very strange experience.
So, Kathy's view of religion inevitably changed. And actually, was this a religious experience at all?
Not for me. Some people talk to Jesus, talk to Buddha, talk to angels and guides. All the religions seem to be so exclusive rather than inclusive. They all have man-made rules. If you do not follow our religion or our rules, you will go to hell. People that come back are usually spiritual, not religious. I don't believe that God condemns anybody. I was taught that I would go to purgatory, and I wasn't disappointed. And I also believe that we plan our own lives to have experiences here on earth, and then we go back to heaven, and I believe, therefore, that I plan that too.
Part of Kathy's catharsis was to write a book, Misfit in Hell to Heaven Expat, which, having heard the story, beautifully fits the narrative. But I couldn't help asking, what possessed her?
It was a possession. I mean, I was always a writer, but when I got back, that hell thing was haunting me so terribly. I thought if I could just write this out, you know, and put it in a drawer, maybe it'll go away. And that went on for 10 years. I got it done. And then I got a call from Kirsty Salisbury from New Zealand. And she says, I want you to be on my podcast for NDEers. I said, what's a podcast? And she says, well, it's kind of like a radio show. I says, oh, okay.
You've seen this experience as a chance to help others. Can you just expand on that a little bit for me?
It took me a long time to realize that what happened to me was a blessing, not a curse. I've been able to reach a lot of people who have the same fears I used to have and just share my story and give them hope. I was given a message a couple years after the experience when I was starting to doubt what was going on. And I asked God, please give me some positive things to make a mantra out of so that I can every day remind myself that all this was real. And he said to be loving and kind, merciful, forgiving, encouraging, grateful, non-judgmental, and useful. So that's what I would suggest to people. That's what Jesus taught. That's what Buddha taught. That's what all the great people taught. If you can just remember to be loving and kind.
Well, there's something we can all agree on. And if that's the message that comes out of this journey, then what's the problem? As for Kathy, has she got back to normal yet?
Once you've had that experience, it changes you. You can't just go back to being your everyday human anymore. It's impossible.
If you've enjoyed Batting the Breeze with us, please share the podcast with a friend and perhaps leave a review to help new listeners find our show. Check out show notes and other great stories at battingthebreeze.com. By the way, if you have stories that you think would be informative, amusing or thought-provoking, emotionally stirring, or perhaps would deliver a message of hope or inspiration, then why not head over to battingthebreeze.com and let us know? Thank you for listening.